Welcome to Friend Wings Podcast, where Smashville and Hockey Town collide. And now your hosts, Brett and Ron White, and D-Law, Dan Lawless.
Welcome to Friend Wings Podcast, episode 85, and I'm kind of slacking because I haven't published last week's episode yet. So that's why you always want to join us live on recording day. So that's why you want to follow us on Podbean so you can get those notifications when we go live so you can actually hear the live version.
And it's a hoot. It's always a hoot.
And
especially with D-Law at the helm.
Especially when we can, later in the season, when we can go through the some of the outtakes that I got to get together in a few weeks.
Oh, yeah, we'll get the blooper reel out.
Probably something for the off season. But so anyway, our social media, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, Pride Wings Podcast, X and YouTube, or some people still call it Twitter, at Pride Wings Pod. And our email is PrideWingsPodcast@gmail.com. So it looks like it might be kind of a short show because there's not much news that I saw.
Been kind of a quiet week.
And there's, well, I only have two games because there's been a short week for the Preds. They got some games in hand, so I think they might have... Actually, Dave Bielan, they only played two games, so they probably would. But.
May I say something? I need to take back everything I said about Nashville. Trotz has got this. I'm nervous about the Wings. You guys got a plan and a formula, and it seems to be working. So,
I hope we can win a game.
I eat it. I eat it. I eat everything I said about Nashville.
Because not so a long time,
but what'd you say?
Not so fast, yeah. I mean, it's just...
No, but I mean, the position you're in, like... You're in a better position than we are, and you guys haven't even began to rebuild. You have done nothing. You've just picked a guy, got rid of him, picked a guy, got rid of him, kept one guy, you know, pulled up a couple from the minors. Like, you had no identity, no, like, there's no, nothing showing what you were actually doing.
On last week's show, I mentioned how, you know, they made these couple of trades, and it's like, you know, with Trotz, it seems like he's starting to get his player type his players. He knows what kind of identity he's got, his coach, so he kind of knows what, and he coached Brunette, obviously, so, and I just think he knows what kind of players, what kind of style, and, you know, seeing how the newcomers, Beauvillier and Zucker are playing within. They're not lighting up by any means, but they're not scorers. They never have been scorers. And I just think that he's getting his players in, his type of players. So, and that's,
yeah,
that's
he's creating his identity. Yeah, he's going to come in. Like, he's not Poyle.
Kind of like how Detroit sort of is. But they're just—I don't know what's going on with them. They're kind of like a Jekyll and Hyde story this year. They like go on streaks and then valleys and streaks and valleys, and maybe they can go get another streak just before the end of the season to make that playoff push.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing good hockey. Trotz has really built an identity. You know, he's—I shouldn't say built an identity, but he's putting his team together how he thinks it should be done. And I personally think, and I'm not a diehard Nashville fan. I follow them because of the show. I follow them because of you. I'm not even as closely as I should. But from what I see, Trotz knows what he wants to do, and he's doing it. His identity is way different than Poyle. He has no – from what I'm seeing, his loyalty is kind of like Yzerman. Nobody's safe. If you're not part of the future and you're not going to be here, you're not going to be here. And that's good. That's what you want. You want a guy that comes in and does his – I mean, pending his vision is right. But I think for his first year as a GM, I'm impressed with what he's done. I am. Now, Yzerman, on the other hand, I don't want to doubt the Yzer plan. Yzerman has been a part of my life, literally, for the majority of it, watching him play. I followed him a little bit in Tampa, and now he's here in Detroit, and I just don't know. I mean, how long do we give this guy? And I don't want to doubt him. Like, I know I'll get chastised by everybody. Oh, the Red Wings, you know, he's got his plan. You got to follow the plan. Believe him. This wasn't going to be overnight. He's 7 years in. And I'll get to that when I get into my recaps. But I like what you guys are doing. I like it. I do.
Well, it took Eisenman a decent amount of time when he was with Tampa Bay as well.
No, I agree.
Tampa Bay was about what Detroit was when he took over Detroit. And he built him into a Stanley Cup winner. Granted, I think he did win one while he was there, but
He did not. He was out before he won.
Oh, so they only got the one. I thought they had two.
But what a lot of people fail to realize is that the new GM brought in some very key pieces. And while Yzerman did build a very good team, people have to go back and look at what he actually did. Like, he did bring in some pieces. He got rid of some pieces. But he got out before they won a Stanley Cup. And the new GM, I forget his name. I don't follow them. I'm just Detroit. But what he did was he brought in some key pieces to win them the Stanley Cup. And yes, Yzerman built a foundation, but this guy built the house. And I want to give Yzerman credit. I like Yzerman a lot. I do. And I'm kind of disappointed that he's the GM in Detroit, because you don't want to see your star, your captain. It'd be like Barry Sanders doing something with Detroit in their down years. Like, he would be chastised. Nobody wants to see Barry Sanders or Steve Yzerman or Isaiah Thomas for the Pistons. You don't want to see guys like that come in after such a successful career in that city. I mean, they were Detroit. They were Detroit. Now they come in and they start coaching a team. They start, you know, taking the GM roles of these teams. Now the teams are terrible. I mean, right now, you've got people that have Yzerman's head on a stick, and you've got guys who are like, hey, give this guy some time. So, I mean, it's a 50-50. It's not like, hey, he's our captain, our hero. It's, hey, we want to win here and now. Like, what are you doing? So it kind of puts a negative light on this guy that I considered, you know, I don't want to say a childhood hero, but not very far off from that. I looked up to Yzerman. I loved what Yzerman did, and, you know, I'm kind of getting a sour taste in my mouth right now. I have to be honest. Like, if I'm not going to be honest, then why even talk?
And the Tampa Bay's GM is Julian Brisebois.
That's right.
He's I don't know. He's 47, so it's that's kind of young as far as a general manager is concerned, isn't it?
Yeah, he's younger.
I'm not sure where the other general managers fit in. I think Trotz might be
80.
No, he's not that old.
I'm just kidding.
No, Poyle maybe is that old.
Yeah, his actions showed it. Do you want me to get into the Detroit recaps here? I mean, you think it's, right into it?
Yeah, let's see how quick those are.
I mean, I don't even know how far back to go, because it was the same outcome.
I just hope we can win a game.
Yeah, I mean,
the first at Buffalo would be your first one.
Oh, that was a fun one. So, Here's Detroit's theme song. I'm just playing this. So whenever they touch the ice, here's what I hear. That's how they're playing. They're a bunch of clowns out there. They're playing terrible hockey. 7-3 drop in Buffalo. 4-1 against Coyotes. They beat. I'm sorry. What's that?
The circus has come to town.
Oh, it is. It's all over they're coming to New York. They're going to Columbus. I mean, they're going to Washington. Hey, they're even going to Nashville. So the ringleader is, I don't even know. We don't have one at the moment. They're all qualified. But Buffalo, a team that they should beat, a struggling team this year. Yes, they've got all the talent in the world. Yes, they made some trades. Bo's playing great. Scored a goal. Good transaction for Buffalo. Not sure what Mittelstadt's done yet. I'll have to look that up here in a second. But Detroit's just playing garbage. They have zero identity. They can't hang. They're not skating well with anybody. They're not keeping up. They have, again, zero gap control. Buffalo, literally, Detroit gave Buffalo, and every single game that they have played. So we've got Buffalo, Arizona, who's garbage, Buffalo again, and then Pittsburgh. Of all those teams, these are four must-win games for Detroit. All these teams are struggling. Arizona's a bottom feeder. Buffalo's on the outside looking in. Like they struggled really hard. And even Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's not playing good hockey. They've only got like 26 wins this year, 27 now.
But they're awful close to the playoff spot. That's what's – them in Washington, it's really scary. Which
no,
we'll
get. I agree. I agree with that. But these are all teams that this Detroit team, with the players that we have, should be winning these games. I get it. We don't have our captain. Who cares? Who cares? Buckle up. Let's go. That's why we've got, you know, assistant slash alternate, whatever you want to call them. That's why we have them. They need to step up and show some leadership. Like, what the hell? This team is garbage. I'm just calling it what it is. I love my Red Wings. I will always love my Red Wings. I'm going to follow them through this dead time that they have right now. I love them. But this is garbage trash hockey, and I'm going to call it out when I see it. Everyone's bashing Alex Lyon. No, Alex Lyon is a good goalie. Villahuso is a good goalie. Our defense is trash. Mo Sider, I don't know what's wrong with him. He's garbage this year. He can't stand upright. His passes are ridiculously off every single time, usually leading in an odd man rush. He's not able to take the body. He can't skate with the guys. He pinches down too low. I mean, I don't know. I don't. Maybe I'm just too critical of this right now, but I watch every single game, the good games, the bad games. I turned off this first Sabres game as soon as it got to be 5-1 or whatever the hell it was. I was like, you know what? Enough of this. I can't even bear to watch this. I don't want to waste my time. There are other things in this world that I could be doing that's going to progress my life, and this is not one of them. Granted, none of the hockey games will do that, but it's not even entertaining at this point. They were so bad the last seven games, eight games. They were so bad that I could have gone either way watching them. Just complete trash. Trash. They didn't show up to any of these games. Newsy Lalonde, if he is not on the chopping block at the end of this season, I'm going to really question Steve Yzerman, because these guys come out flat every single game. They're not ready. That means that the locker room's not ready. The game day preparation isn't there. Something needs to give. And we know Lalonde can do it, but he's not doing it now. He needs to be able to transition and adapt to what's going on in the organization. And I get Dylan Larkin is not there. You still have hockey games to play. They're not going to postpone the season because Dylan Larkin, who isn't even the NHL's best player or remotely close to it, but he's our guy. He's our leader. He's the one that helps us through these times. And that scares me because what's going to happen when he's not there? Like now, we lose every game since he's been out.
Maybe he should. I was just going to say, since I wonder if that's got anything to do with them, because they
but
allowed.
Should it, though? D-Law, should it?
When he was in, they were going to lose that game anyway. The 4-0 loss to Florida. I think that was late in the game, right, when they got injured in that game. And they haven't, other than that one Buffalo win.
D-Law, they have been blown out. One man does not.
Since he got injured,
play like this.
Since he got injured, 7-2 loss, 4-0 loss, 5-3 loss, 7-3 loss, 4-1 loss. Then there's that win, and then the 6-3 loss.
See, we the Red Wings right now are in like the worst position any team could ever possibly be in. The worst. You're too high to get a decent draft pick, and you're not making the playoffs. Like, you're right on the cusp. Detroit's not making the playoffs this year. I hope they don't.
Surprisingly, they're still in the second wild card spot by a point.
Yeah, that's because other teams are losing. It's not because Detroit's playing. I mean, look, they haven't won a game. Just imagine where Detroit would be right now if they could win a game. Just imagine that.
Let's see. Toronto's got 85 points, and just not that long ago, they were only 2-4 points behind them. So they would probably be right up there with them.
Agreed. But think about this.
Now they're not, you know, Toronto's comfortable in that third spot, and they're probably going to stay.
Detroit is not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to make the playoffs. And if they do, I will eat it on the chin. You can send me hate mail. I don't even care. I'm way too passionate about this team, and this is not a playoff team. And here's – I'm just going to go through the recaps really quick. I'm never going to mention anybody. They're all garbage. Lucas Raymond is our best player right now. Lucas Raymond is our best player right now. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I think it's terrible. So here's what we got. 7-3 drop to Buffalo. 4-1 drop against the dumpster fire of Arizona. We come back and back to Little Caesars, and we win 4-1. The blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. We weren't going to lose out the rest of the season. That was our win. And then we drop a nasty one to Pittsburgh yesterday, 6-3. Joke of a team.
Hey, Crosby got his first goal in 12 games.
Yeah, I mean, I could go and score a goal. And you've seen me skate. I could score a goal against this team. And here's my problem. Here's a problem that I have. All the Red Wings fans that are bashing the goaltending, we've had some pretty good goaltending in this organization. Nedeljkovic, Billy Husso, even James Reimer's not that bad. Alex Lyon, you know, the kid's a good goalie. But when you're facing not just a shot, but a high scoring chance every single time that you face a shot, because your defense is so piss poor and your offense isn't getting back to play defense, like what are we doing? What are we doing out there? And again, like, how many years are we going to give Steve Yzerman? And this is my concern for all of this. This is my concern. Is you see everybody saying, like, oh, this is our plan. This is a part of the whole plan. Yeah, it's 7 years in, and we have not gotten any better. We're still on the outside looking in. Yes, the first 3 years of Yzerman's career as a GM with Detroit, we were bottom feeders. So, yes, we're not at that point yet. Now we're on the cusp of making a playoffs. We're 7 years into this, folks. 7 years. Like, how much longer do we give them? I don't want to just make the playoffs. I don't want to be Boston. I don't want to be Toronto. I don't want to just make it and fall apart. That's not what I want. I do want them to build a team. But now we got to think of this. Hey, well, we got great draft picks. We got great prospects. We got, you know, we got some guys that are going to come up and really make a difference. Yeah? Well, hang on a second. Let's pump the brakes. Mo Sider's 3 or 4 years into his career right now. He has digressed terribly. Lucas Raymond, best player on the team right now. Took him 4 years to get to this point. So now, let's go back a little bit here. Let's fast forward. Now you've got your Edvinsons, you've got your Berggrens, you've got your Mazers, you've got your Nate Danielsons. All these guys are still developing in the minors. So that means they're going to come up and be a bulk of our team, which is great. That is actually good, because we're going to have a youth movement of decent prospects, and we're hopefully going to make this. Two problems with that. It's another four-year growth anticipation for them to be good, because prospects typically don't just come into the league and blow it out of the water. We might get one or two, sure, but to have a core unit of new players coming up, like, yes, you're getting their reps in Grand Rapids. I get that. AHL and NHL are completely different, or else the NHL would have another 40 teams in it.
Well, that might happen.
That's where you develop. It might, with Bettman in charge, but that's where you develop. You develop in the AHL, you come up, you get a few shifts, second, third line, fourth line, you just get some repetitions in the big leagues, and it takes a couple, two, 3 years to become that budding star, like a Dylan Larkin or, you know, a Lucas Raymond who's on his way up now. Like, it takes more time. So here we are 7 years in. We got another 4 years to let these guys grow. And then that's pending who we can grab in the offseason and build this team the way it needs to be built. Like, we're talking another 4 years of mediocre hockey. And it's all going to be, oh, it's the Yzer plan. Yeah, I understand that. You know, if this was a 12-year journey, just freaking say it. Just say it. If it's going to, you know, what are we talking, a decade? We're talking a decade to build a team? Like, that's silly to me. I mean, I get it. Yzerman's highly regarded. I respect the man more than anything. Again, childhood hero of mine. Watched almost every game as a kid. I remember so much of what he did. I appreciate having him back in the organization. I understand this is a marathon, not a sprint. But just when you think the finish line is right there, it was only a mirage. That finish line is another half a decade down the road. And I just don't know if my heart can take it. I don't know if I can take it. I'm going to, because I'm not giving up on my Wings. I never would. I never will. I'll still watch the games. But I want to be excited to watch the games. Like, we have Columbus tomorrow, which we'll get into. I'm not worried about sharing that quickly. I'm not excited about watching it. I'm going to watch it because I watch the team. I follow the team. I'm a devoted diehard fan to the Red Wings, and I'm going to watch it. But I'm not excited like I used to. I used to make a drink in my Red Wings cup, and I used to get ready. I used to love it. I was like, okay, we got the game coming on. Okay, everyone get out of the room. I'm going to watch this. Girls, go to bed. I got the Red Wings around. And now it's like, yeah, I'll put them on in the background. I'll put them on in the background. And if, you know, if they score, great. If they don't, I'm used to it. It's just kind of there now. It's not like a part of my day like it used to be. I used to, honestly, D-Law, I'm not kidding about this. The end of my workday, I could only think about getting home, getting the kids ready, and getting the Red Wings game on.
No, they don't even want to watch it.
I mean, I don't. I do because I'm a fan, but I don't because of what they're producing.
You definitely need to make that drink a little strong now. Kinda
no,
like
I don't even want to drink. I throw it on and I just listen to it while I'm cleaning the kitchen or picking up from, you know, what the girls have done. And, you know, and I mean, for those out there, I've got two daughters that are younger, you know, elementary school age. It's just not, this isn't the hockey that I anticipated for Detroit at this juncture of the game. I thought that they would be at least competing. And I know, I get it. You can tell me, well, they're in the wild card spot. They are competing. They just dropped 7 out of 8 games when they needed it the most. They're coming out flat. There's zero entry into the zone. That's why we're not scoring any goals. We cannot break past the blue line. But Lalonde thinks, let's just keep doing the exact same thing, but we'll change lines. No, you have to change your strategy. You don't just change the lines. Like, yeah, that's a good start. Game after game after game, we cannot break entry into the zone. Not only that, we give the neutral zone wide open, uncontested. Why? Why do we let a team go from the behind their own net all the way to our blue line before they meet anybody? Why are we retreating that fast? No, you pressure them in the neutral zone. You don't let them just break into your zone and set up. Like, this is the NHL. If you let a team just come in and set up, they're going to score on you.
Or how about pressuring them in their defensive zone to create turnovers, and then you don't, then you're already got in your offensive zone.
I mean, we've allowed like 40 goals in like the last 10 games.
But and I just want to tell, in this time of year,
I'm done with my rant, D-Law, because if I do, I'm going to blow an artery.
I think the rant room is back. I think you didn't have your recap. I think it turned out to be a rant room.
Hey, we just play the music because we haven't heard it yet. We just play the rant room intro, and we'll do it as an outro. Do you still have that take?
I'll have to find it real quick. But I was going to say, as far as this time of year, I always remember, and this is going back some years, you know, when the Wings were good, and it was kind of like the opposite of the Preds. The Preds, like, it seems like March gets here, you know, playoff time, the playoff push, and they're like, they're always right there, right, kind of close to the playoffs, trying to get in, and they always just go through these slumps, kind of like Detroit is right now, and it killed their playoff chances. Some years they barely made it. Some years they'd missed it. And on the other flip side, Detroit, they were just killing it in March, right towards the end of the year. And they were, you know, they would go on these win streaks, and they not only would get in the playoff spot, they would move up spots to get a home ice advantage and what propelled them into probably one of their cup years. I think a couple of their cup years, they were the President's Trophy winner, if I believe, or did they not? I don't remember.
So D-Law, really quick, in the last 9 games, they've allowed 43 goals in 9 games. 43. Are for real? And, like, everyone wants to just jump right out and blame Husso. It's like, or not Husso, Lyon. It's like, it's not Lyon's fault.
I know, even the announcers and, you know, the Detroit announcers last night, the Osgood's one of them, they kept saying, Lyon's making saves. He's just not getting any help. And they mentioned how Raymond has really developed. They mentioned even last year he just looked, he wasn't ready. He was getting hit, yeah. And he worked on it, and now he's, like, getting more confident. He got bigger.
Yeah. We've had 19 – he added 10 pounds. Yeah, he did. You're right. That's a good point, D-Law. That's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, I stole that from, I believe it was Mickey Redmond last night at the end, in the post game show.
Yeah, I mean, he said that a few times. I mean, he's pretty high on Raymond because while Raymond's not your big power forward, he's playing like it. He's fighting through checks. He's throwing the body in the corners. He's fighting through players to try to make a play on the net. Like, he's putting himself where he needs to. The kid's playing phenomenal hockey. And you know how I said we had 43 goals against in 9 games? We have 19 goals for. I mean, that is just... And to me, that's a coach. That's a coach. I mean, yeah, we can blame the GM a little bit, but I mean, you bring in a guy like Kane, who's been playing phenomenal. You bring in DeBrinket, who was playing phenomenal. You get secondary scoring. I mean, we have like, I think every single one of our third and fourth liners has at least 10 goals.
Kane did have a nice pass. He made that one goal to, I believe it was Raymond.
Raymond,
yeah, Raymond had both goals, didn't he? So he's making the plays. They just need to finish. I don't know what's going on with DeBrinket. He was kind of like...
They keep changing lines. I mean, that's how... I mean, that is the most chaotic, unorganized thing I've ever heard of in my life. Well, it's not working. Let's shuffle lines. Oh, it's still not working. Let's just shuffle lines. Well, it's not working. Let's shuffle the lines. It's still not working. Let's shuffle the lines again. Oh, we're back to where we were. Let's shuffle them again. No, you don't just shuffle the lines. You figure out what the root cause of your issues are, and you freaking fix it. And I think at this point, Lalonde just doesn't have his guys ready. I don't know what message is being set in the locker room or in the organization. Lalonde is just not doing anything. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. And I don't like to bash the guy because I want to give him an opportunity. But I'm just not seeing an NHL head coach in him. I'm not. He's not a Tortorella. You know, I even like Claude Julien. You know, he's not them. And I'm not saying he doesn't have potential. I'm sure he does. But he's not showing it. I mean, you hit adversity. Your number one player is out. Larkin is out. You figure it out. You figure it out. I get it. You try to shuffle lines a little bit to see if you can create a spark. When you're not creating a spark, well, maybe you change your scheme up a little bit. Maybe you start pressing a little bit more. Maybe you don't give them the entire neutral zone. Maybe you bury it in their brains that if somebody is wide open in the slot, you cover them. I mean, I don't know how many. I mean, Crosby yesterday, his goal was garbage. Garbage. I mean, if you saw this, it was like a bouncing, wiggly puck that just kind of squirted through to him wide open in the slot. Nobody was even covering him. Nobody was even around him. It just kind of trickled, and it was kind of like this odd bouncy puck thing, and he just whacked it with a backhand as hard as he could, and he didn't have any meat on it, nothing. It was just a bouncing, weird puck, and it just kind of bounced off the leg of Lyon. I mean, it wasn't even a nice goal. It was the ugliest thing I've ever seen. I've had nicer goals than that.
Well, that's what another thing that they were saying, the Detroit announcers saying, is Crosby isn't like the flash like McDavid. He goes in the greedy areas and he gets those. He works for everything and he gets those goals right inside. And I was like, really? I always think of Crosby as like the coming down on Ryan, the goalie there for
Miller.
Maren Miller and just sniping the top corner on him.
He's got the ability to. He can. But he's not. He's right. He's not your McDavid. He's not. But for the longest time, he was the McDavid. The guy was a great hockey player. I mean, he still is a good hockey player. You can't doubt that. I hated him for the longest time.
The Wings fans hate Crosby because I don't remember what he mentioned. He didn't say what it was. The Detroit announcer, there was some incident that Crosby did years ago. I must have been against Detroit or something. I don't remember what it was, and that what really turned the Wings fans against him. I don't know if it was off ice or on ice.
I don't remember. I was never a fan of him, just for the pure reason that
the NHL gave him to him. And the funny thing about that is I did a couple weeks ago, I was looking it up, and the NHL for some reason, I think there was a lockout just that year, and somehow the NHL gave Pittsburgh the number one pick, knowing that was the Crosby draft, and then Pittsburgh had the number one pick. So they didn't, they were, granted, they were down towards the bottom, but they didn't have the draft lottery, and it was they were coming out of a lockout year, I believe, and they just, the NHL awarded Pittsburgh the number one pick. So that's probably part of the hatred, because they pretty much gave Pittsburgh them, kind of like how they gave Edmonton McDavid.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, but you can't knock the guy. I mean, he's playing, he played at a high level for a very long time. He's aging out. I mean, for crying out loud, he was a part of the 2009 Stanley Cup Pittsburgh team. I mean, how many years ago was that? You know, you've got Malkin, you've got, you know, Crosby, and they're still playing at a high level, but they're just not there in their prime. But Pittsburgh is a team that should have been beaten, and we got blown out. And yeah, I get it. It was 6-3. This, it may not look like a blowout, but guess what? The way that Detroit played, Pittsburgh owned them.
Oh, Pittsburgh also missed like four empty nets before they got the sixth. The sixth one was empty net, and it's funny you say that, because I believe it was Mickey Redmond was saying, if it was for Lyon, it could have been 8 or 9
goals. Yeah, like, it was. Nine. But that's what I was saying. Like, they're not just taking shots on goal; they're creating high quality scoring opportunity on every shot. I mean, there's nothing, I mean, yeah, there's routine, and I shouldn't say there's nothing routine. I'm being a little sarcastic, but the majority of the shots were not like you're just a slapper from the blue line, or, you know, oh, somebody got open by the faceoff dot and took a shot. No, the puck's moving. It's taking deflections. You're getting traffic out front because nobody wants to clear the front of the net. We're leaving guys open in the slot to have wide open rebound opportunities and, you know, a perfect passing outlet or passing lane to, you know, create the play and keep it going. Like, we allow plays to drag out in our own zone. Like, unbelievable. And then we get in a strict panic mode and just slap the puck down the ice as hard as we can. Like, I get it. If the players think that they're upset about it, try being a fan that has to pay money to watch them. I'm not getting paid to watch them play. I'm not getting paid to go to the concession stands or buy merchandise. I do that because I'm a fan. These players got to have a real freaking gut check, because they're getting paid millions to put this on the ice. It's a freaking multi-million dollar turd sandwich right now is what that is. And that's how I'm going to leave it. I can't go on with Detroit anymore. I'm over it. They're my team. I'm over it. I don't want to talk about them anymore. I'm too disappointed.
You are now entering the rant room.
Well, actually, we're just exiting it.
No, that's okay. Now shut the door. I'm glad you played it. There it is. The Red Wings portion is over. And it's on to Nashville.
It was nice to kind of bring that back. But I also know you mentioned Casey Mittelstadt earlier. With Colorado, he's got a whopping one. Of course, he's only four games. One goal, two assists. When he was with Buffalo in this past year, he played 62 games. He had 14 goals and 33 assists. But this is he had 28 penalty minutes. And I don't know those penalties. It could be cheesy penalties. It could be bad. But that was the most he's had in his career in one season. And with Colorado, I know it's only four games, but he's got no penalty minutes. So, I mean, you can't really compare it yet, because obviously he's only four games in, but I guess, you know, maybe he'll, who knows, you can't really compare right now. He's played 62 games with Buffalo, and we'll see what happens when he plays 62 games with Colorado. See how many goals he's got, see how many penalty minutes he's got.
Yeah, I don't know. How are your, are you ready for your recaps?
Two games, continuing the road trip, kind of a broken road trip. First, they go into Winnipeg. I was kind of scared about this game. Winnipeg's on a really hot streak. But the Predators end up taking a win. They extended a point streak to 13 in this one. the newcomer Zucker. He had a goal. That was his first goal as a Predator. You know, Nyquist, he's kind of stays. I mean, he's not really ha-ha, but he's kind of consistent. He gets it. He got him on the board first. Kiefer Sherwood, again, that fourth line. I believe Sherwood's on the fourth or maybe the third. I think it's the fourth line. So that, you know, they're getting contributions from all four lines. That fourth line is playing really, really high minutes. Although I think they're pretty much even as far as each line's playing, but it seems like you really notice when their fourth line is out there game in and game out, because they're out there creating havoc, creating turnovers, forechecking the opponent in their defensive zone to create some of those offensive chances. Forsberg gets, you know, he made a 3-0. So, you know, the Predators got out, they got out to that 4-0 lead before the Jets scored those two goals, kind of like late. Actually, the fourth one was a power play goal that came with 11 seconds left in the game. Yeah, it was just an overall great, good road game to really quiet the Jets. I mean, Winnipeg came out in the third period and you know, they outshot them 12-9. I don't know what the shot attempts were. But they were held. Predators were held without a power play. Probably maybe a good thing. But they just another good game. And then that led us into. They had a couple of days off. They actually came into Seattle. Actually, I remember watching the Seattle Washington game, and the Washington announcers were mentioning seeing the Predators in their hotel. So they didn't play till Saturday night, and they were in Seattle for Thursday, so they had a couple of days off to kind of like hang out in Seattle and
enjoy it.
Yeah, and
yeah, but I think what you don't realize, G-Law, talking about Winnipeg, they're one of the best teams in the NHL. They're a good team. You got to give Nashville credit.
They're sitting first in the Western. The Central. It's a three-way tie, and it's just like any game, you know, Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg, they've just been flip-flopping depending on who's got the game or who doesn't. Being in Winnipeg, Winnipeg is, they're 23-9-2 on their home ice, so to come into that atmosphere, to jump out to a 4-0 lead, like, that was a huge part, you know, getting that 4-0 lead.
Yeah.
I think if the Jets get the lead, and that's another thing. The Predators, they jump out. I don't have the stats with me right offhand, but they score first. They win pretty much, I think, every game but one or two. So that's a huge part for them. They did lose a couple defensemen to injuries. Actually, Barry had to come in to play. Tyson Barry, and they're mentioning how hard it is for somebody that's been sitting all season long and to just get thrown in there. And he actually didn't play all that bad against Seattle. He actually had a really strong game. Fabro is one of the injured players, and then they just called up one of the youngsters. I'm drawing a blank right now, but he ended up getting injured. One of the youngsters from Milwaukee, I can't think of his name right offhand. But you know, Seattle, they played a great game against Seattle. It was a 4-1 win. They just look really good. Seattle kind of came out in the first, but they didn't have that many shots. So the Predators kept them from getting shots. I think the Predators actually had like a 5-1 lead at one time in the first period as far as shots. They actually held them Seattle five in the first. But, you know, Tommy Novak got him on the board first. It was a nice little goal. So once again, they get the first goal. And then Josi, I remember earlier in the year you were talking about how Yossi's like not there, and he's just not playing the way he needs to play, and I just during this game, they're saying how the announcer was saying how he's got to be talk for the Norris, because his game is just jumped, to new, where it should be. And he had two goals in this game, so they got a 14 game point streak as far as the team. Led by, you also had one of them was a power play goal. Forsberg also, he scored an empty net goal, and it wasn't like that guy, kid from Edmonton. He was just kind of like just pretty much going in all alone, and he just kind of like pushed the puck in. He didn't even shoot. He just kind of like directed it in. And then he didn't even celebrate. He just went to the bench. It's a total opposite from the guy in Edmonton or Ottawa. But yeah, it was another great game. Their defense is really, I don't want to say smothering, because there's times where their team, although Seattle didn't look like Seattle. Early in the year, Seattle was, I thought, was going to be a top team. And I actually think I had them in the Red Wings 10. And they just, for some reason, they're just not playing. Burkowski was the only one who scored. Yeah, it was a nice little goal, top corner. Can't fault Saros on that. It was just a nice goal. I don't think any goalie would have saved that. It was nice, picked the corner, top corner. But it just, Seattle just, they're not as lost as Detroit, but they just not, they're not going, and they're definitely not going to make the playoffs here, judging from this game alone. But they just, they don't look like the team they did earlier in this year. I don't know, they made some trades, I believe. I don't know if that's why, but they just, yeah. I mean, and the Preds' defense was, I mean, you can say Seattle wasn't all that good, but the Preds' defense really was really all over them. They kept the shots down. Saros made 23 saves, so they had 24 shots on goal. That seemed like a lot, but when you're looking at other teams to get 30, 40 shots a game, that's not bad. I mean, and they held them to, other than the third period, they held them to single-digit shots in a period. So that's pretty good. And the shots were even in the third. That's when Seattle had scored their goals in the third period. Nice short week for the Preds. Two games, two wins. I'll take it. They're getting that point streak. So much for a lot more than I can say for Milwaukee, but we'll talk about them later. So another week, and they're solidifying them. And before, they moved into the first wild card spot, thought, oh, maybe it was just like a short-time thing, short-time stay, and they'll be fighting for the second spot, the second wild card spot. But with all these wins, they're increasing the gap between them and the bottom, and that's what you need to do this time of year. And they're really solidifying themselves as a number one wild card spot. They probably are too far behind to get the top three, being as the leaders have 91 points. It's probably possible, but it's not likely. They're 9 points behind right now, so I mean, they need a lot to go for. They're all, Winnipeg, Colorado, Dallas are all hot. Colorado's, they're on a 6-game win streak, so they're probably going to end up taking a division unless Winnipeg gets just as hot. Winnipeg does have a game in hand. That's why they're listing them as number at the top spot. So it's going to be an interesting ride the last couple weeks of the season.
Yeah, I do think Nashville's got a pretty good chance. I mean, how can you not think that? I mean, I think they're playing pretty good. They're in a position to at least make the playoffs.
They are scoring 3-4 goals a game, but the thing that's really impressing me is their defensive style. I wouldn't have said that earlier in the year. Their defensive style, their defense looked pretty bad at times, but their defense, I don't want to say smothering, because their teams are still getting chances, but they're cutting the shots down. They're making manageable saves for the goaltenders. They're not, they're, And they're clearing the rebounds. So a lot of the goals come on rebounds, especially in the NHL. And so, I mean, you make the goalie makes the first save. You know, that's all you can ask the goaltender for. You can't ask in any league, really. You got to be there for the rebound, and that comes down to positioning and boxing out the offensive players. So the Preds' defense has really stepped it up in this last win streak.
Yeah, and it's good. It's showing. And I wish Detroit's defense would show up because they're non-existent. But, yeah, you know, I'm happy for the Preds. I think this could be, you know, I'm not saying they're going to go to the Stanley Cup. You never know. But I do think that, you know, I do think that they're a team that you're going to have to watch out for in the future, especially with Trotz. I think he's, like I said earlier on in the show, I think he's making the right moves and putting the right things together. And, you know, their play has been pretty decent.
There's not really a lot of news, so I don't know if you want to jump into some fines, looks like.
No, we do have a couple I don't think we mentioned. And then what about Matt Rempe for the elbow on Siegenthaler?
Yeah, I didn't see that one. 4 games, that's...
No, it was well-deserved. It was. I mean, he's a bigger kid. But here's what I'm going to say about that, because I know it's kind of a shorter week, so I'm going to throw this in here. I like this kid. I like this kid for two reasons. One, he's not afraid to back down. He plays a game that he plays. He's not afraid to back down. He's fought Reeves, and he's fought all the heavyweights. Two, with Rempe doing what he's doing and taking the suspension, teams are going to be forced to find somebody that can fight fire with fire. If Rempe can remain in the league, we're going to see enforcers back in this hockey league again. He's going to do about it.
That would have been a good hit if he didn't swing his elbow up. He swung his elbow up in the air. If he would have kept his elbow down, it would have been fine. He got to learn that. Yeah, he was going in for the hit. Would have been a great hit, nice hit. But then he moves his arm. Yeah, that was definitely suspendable.
And then he waved at him on the way out.
Maybe. I don't know. Well, I guess, I mean, it was a head-to-head. 4 games, maybe. But
it was deserved. It was deserved.
Yeah, because he definitely lifted his elbow up. Yeah, I guess I'm good with the 4 games being hit the head, and it was definitely avoidable. If he would have just kept his elbow tucked down, would have been no call. Would have been a great hit. Yeah, he's a young player. I don't remember seeing him.
Yeah, I like him. I like the kid. He's bringing old school hockey back to the game where he's got offense and he's got fists. So, yeah, I like this kid. I do. He's young. He's not afraid. I mean, I'll take it. Keep it up, kid. Don't stop. Keep your game. As long as your brains don't scramble, do it. Stay. I want an enforcer back in this league. I want that league back.
And now Dmitry Kulikov, he's scheduled every hearing on today for an illegal check. They always call it an illegal check to Hagel. Of course, it's going to be illegal. Check to the head against Tampa Bay, Connor Sherry. It was in their 5-3 loss. that's kind of a, well, Tampa Bay and Florida rivalry, so you can never count out those rivalry games. But yeah, so he'll probably, I don't know, I don't have a video of it, but I'm just judging it'll probably be around 4 games, judging by what Rempe got. So we'll see what Kulikov will have probably next show. I'm sure we'll find out by then. I think that's all the fines for this week. And I don't think, as far as any news, I think that's pretty much all we got.
Yeah, it's been a slow week. I mean, I'm okay with it.
It seems like it always is coming right out of the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And, oh, actually, something just popped up. Martin St. Louis, the Canadiens coach, is going to be out. He's going to be away from the team due to family. Seems like he had that issue when he was a player. I don't know, maybe not. But so, probably a death of the family, not sure. And they're obviously not going to tell, which they shouldn't. But he's going to be out away from the team because of that, indefinitely. So their assistant coach will be taking over. So hopefully everything's going to be well with him and his family. And I think that's all we got for the NHL. And before we go, I just want to mention, before we go into, I think, the Predwings 10. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to mention kind of a forgotten guy, and I know how well, you know, he was an integral part of the Tampa Bay Lightning Cup run. Andre Palat, he was a force in the playoffs.
Yep.
And it seems like, you know, you go to another team, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. It just, and he, you know, he goes to New Jersey, and it just doesn't seem like it's not working. He's, and that's probably one reason why New Jersey's where they are. Not saying one player will make a difference, but since joining the Devils, he's got 8 goals last year in 49 games, 15 assists, and this season in 57 games, he's got 9 goals and 17 assists. So just one more game, one more goal, a couple more assists, but just one more goal in almost 10 games more. So he's really struggling. He's a -2. And that's actually the first time all in his career that he's been a minus. He was a +25 in 2019-20 with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And we're going way back to his second season. He had 81 games, 23-14. He was a +32. The year Tampa Bay won the Cup was 21-22, 23 games. That was their Cup year. He had 3 game-winning goals in the playoffs. He did play playoffs 12 games with the Devils in 22-23, but he only had 3 goals and 4 assists. So it's just, it's not working for him in New Jersey. I'm thinking he's probably wishing he would have stayed in Tampa Bay. I mean, obviously, he's going for the money. I'm not sure.
Well, of course.
$30 million, but it's just, I get New Jersey's obviously not a fit. I don't know. It was a 5-year deal, and that was in 2022. So he's still got a few years left on his contract. So he's going to have to find a way to, I guess, I don't know if you want to adjust your playing style, but maybe I don't know what it is, but he was way much better. Maybe because he had players around him in Tampa Bay. Maybe that was one reason. Although New Jersey does have a decent amount of players, till they get rid of most of them in the trade deadline. But, you know, you're looking at, you know, Timo Meier and Jack Hughes, I mean, and even Nico Hischier. I mean, obviously you need more players than that, but those are the ones that jump out at you. I just wanted to bring that up, how he really, really struggling in New Jersey, and it's probably one of the keys. Like I said, I mean, you never know if he scores 50, 60 goals, which, I mean, he never really has. I'm not saying New Jersey would be a top team, but they might be in a better position, you know, standing-wise. They're below Pittsburgh and Buffalo now, so they're, you know, I don't know if they're in a rebuild or what's going on in New Jersey, but they better hope next year he comes out.
They're retooling.
Yeah, I just, you know, they just got to figure out what's wrong, what's going on with him, because the last 2 years he hasn't even had 10 goals. And that's not acceptable for a player of his caliber. I know if he was a Predator, I'd be like, that's unacceptable. I mean, he's a star in this league. And I'm wondering if he's one of those players that can only play with better players around him, like Tampa Bay. I'm not sure what lines he was on, but, you know, Tampa Bay was loaded with talent. So maybe that's probably why. But that's enough of that. Are you ready for your Pred Wings 10, or you want me to start?
You can start.
All right, so I got Rangers on top still. They're still, you know, sitting up there with 94 points. I got Florida second just because, even though they just lost Tampa Bay, but it's at the rivalry game I had mentioned. So, and Boston, I got Boston in third. I got Vancouver slipping to 4. Colorado, that wins, hot 6-game win streak, got them moving up to 5. Dallas and Winnipeg right below them, just because they're all tied for their division. I think that's how they're going to finish 1, 2, 3 in the division. Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg. How I got in my 10. And then I got the Preds at 8. It's probably a little high, I think.
That's a stretch.
But they're just because they're on this nice little point streak. And then I got Carolina, who kind of everybody's kind of forgot about them. They're sitting at 90 points. Little three-game win streak. They're just four behind the Rangers, who are playing really good, really, really solid. And then I got Tampa Bay rounding out my top 10. They're sitting in the first wild card spot.
But you got to realize also, like, a lot of teams are, like, in the at least in the Eastern Conference, like, Detroit's won one game in their last eight, and they're still in a wild card. And that's just simply because the right teams are losing. So you got to keep that in mind, too.
Well, Tampa Bay just did beat Florida. They are on a three-game win streak, and they're 21-9 at four at home. I'm not sure what their schedule looks like as far as that, so they better hope they have a lot of home games coming up. They do have a game in hand on Detroit. They do not have a game in hand on Washington, who's right behind them. Well, they got 73, so they got a little bit of separation. And that's another key thing. They got separation between Detroit, Washington, and the Islanders. Speaking of the Islanders, they dropped out of my 10. They've been kind of struggling lately a little bit. They're kind of up and down. And then, of course, the Kings. And I just want to mention St. Louis. I watched a couple of their games, the last couple of games. The way they're playing really, really good. If they make the playoffs, I would be very worried about them. I don't think they were in last place this season, but it kind of reminds me of the 2019 team when they won the cup. And it's kind of funny how some of the Preds announcers were comparing the Preds team this year with the 2019 Blues team. But watching the Blues the last two games, I mean, I know the Ducks are a bad team. They had a 1-0 lead in St. Louis. And St. Louis just they played back-to-back games. I know a lot of teams play Saturday and Sunday, but back-to-back. So you can't really and by this time it's it probably happens 10, 15 times a year. I don't have the stats of back-to-backs. So I mean, by now, you can't use that excuse anymore. The players are known, and going back to when they played in juniors and even the minor leagues, they always play back to backs, 3 and 4 nights, that kind of stuff. So they know their bodies are accustomed to it. But still, saying that, it's still rough. I mean, you still got to go out there and play at that high level, back to back. You know, the next night. Yeah, granted, it's a lot easier if you're at home because you don't have to travel. But in the third period, the Blues is all over the Ducks. Scored 4 straight goals. They won that game. And the day before, the Wild was Saturday night, I believe. And that was a huge game. Yes, it went overtime. And I know that's one thing I did not want as a Preds fan. I did not want this game to go a 3-point game. I was hoping the Blues would win in regulation. But the Blues end up winning in a shootout. So they're actually a point ahead of them a while now. But yeah, the Blues, I tell you what, they're only 4 points behind Vegas, and Vegas has been they are coming off a win. But the Blues, I think the Blues actually have a game against Vegas coming up. And Vegas does have that game in hand. And there's 4 points ahead of Blues, so that the Blues can get that push. And I don't know if there were sellers in the trade deadline or not. It seems to me they were, but I don't know. And they did have that coaching change earlier this year, but they're a scary team. I would not want to play them in the playoffs if they can make it. I would really love to see Vegas miss the playoffs. I mean, I probably shouldn't be saying that, but just the way it has been going with Vegas in the last since they came in the league, it's like the NHL's favorite darlings. But that's all I'm going to go with there. But I'm just saying, watch out for the Blues. Watch out for the Blues.
Through mine, I've got the Rangers, Boston, Florida rounding out the top three, and then Vancouver, Winnipeg, Colorado. So it's east over west right there. And then I've got Carolina, Toronto, Dallas, and then Nashville rounding out my top 10. I think Nashville's doing some good things, so I'll give them credit where credit's due. I won't go as high as 8. I don't think they're at 8, but I do think they're in the top 10. That's what I've got for that one.
On the Admirals front,
I just hope we can win a game.
I think they actually won a game. 3-game losing streak, and then they beat San Diego on the second game. So they ended that little skid there, and then they got these next two in Colorado. After that, they got 4 of their last 5 at home. So maybe they can get their home cooking back. March has not been a very good month for them. 2 wins in March, 6 losses. So not a very good March compared to coming off that great February. And that's all I have for the Milwaukee Admirals this week.
Yeah, I'm just going to go in. I'm just going to say that for the Griffins, they're on the push to make a playoffs, which I think would be huge for these young kids to get some opportunity to play some playoff hockey. I get it's not the NHL, but it extends their season, gets them more ice time, and gets some playoff experience. A little scary is that Jonathan Berggren is our leading points person by a lot. And he did not equate well the last few games he's been up in Detroit. He just has not really been visible. Maybe that's because Lalonde has the lines different, or he could have played better with better people. But, yeah, it's a little scary. But what I want to highlight here is out of our top 10, actually I'll go 6, because top 6 players for the Griffins, 2 of them are rookies in the Griffins, and that's Carter Mazur, who is our second points person, and he's gritty. He's like a little Bertuzzi in a way, but I think he'll fight more than Bertuzzi would. He's got 31 points with 15 goals, 16 assists, and then dropping down, Edmondson, who's got his second year in Detroit, he's number 5, or I'm sorry, in Grand Rapids. He's got 29 points as a defenseman. He's got 8 goals, 21 assists, and then Marco Kasper. He's a kid that he's played up a couple of times with the Wings, and he's doing okay. 27 points, 11 goals, 16 assists in 56 games. So, we do have some promising young guys, but, the problem is once they come up from Grand Rapids, now there's another learning curve. So I'm just hopeful that they can, equate to something. The Griffins make that playoff push and, get some more ice time for these guys.
And speaking of the playoffs real quick, Hershey's are the first one to clinch. 93 points, and Cleveland's leading their division with 76, 2 points ahead of Syracuse, and then in the Milwaukee division with Grand Rapids, they're still got that decent lead, even though that little losing streak. 77 points for Griffins with 69, so they got to keep that little separation. And then in the Pacific, they got Coachella Valley, who I believe is Seattle's farm team. So maybe they should put some of their guys up in Seattle. They got 80 points. So that's the AHL playoff race. Let's kind of go down to NHL real quick before we leave. Boston, Florida, they're going to be in a battle for their division. Boston's back on top. Then you got Toronto sitting quietly in third with 85. And then the Rangers are leading their division with 94. Carolina's maybe they can catch them with 90. That's going to be an interesting race, see what happens. And then you got Philadelphia, kind of another team that's kind of quietly sitting there in third with 76. I believe Washington is in their division. They're third in a wild card, 73 points. They're only 3 points behind Philadelphia. So if they can get a little hot streak going, and that's another thing you got to worry about Philadelphia in a wild card. If Washington can catch them and bump Philadelphia in the wild card, Tampa Bay's leading that wild card with 78. Detroit's somehow miraculously staying put in their second with 74. Although they got Washington, the Islanders, and then don't look down with Pittsburgh and Buffalo. Well, Buffalo's been red hot lately. You never know. I mean, 69 points. I mean, it's probably not likely, but you never know. Teams like Detroit can go on a losing streak. And shifting to the West, you got, like I mentioned, the three-way battle, Winnipeg, Colorado, Dallas. 91 points. I think Colorado's going to end up taking that one, and then I think Dallas is going to end up finishing second to Winnipeg. And then you got Vancouver, 92. They got a little bit of a comfortable lead over Edmonton with 84, which is kind of surprising. Then you got LA sitting still in third with 79, and then in the wild card. And Nashville's holding on to that number one spot, 82 points. It's big. Vegas is getting a little close. But as long as the Predators keep winning, they should be able to keep that separation. And then you got St. Louis at 75 and Minnesota 74. So that's just a little brief playoff situation for this week. And I think that's about all I got. Okay, now it's time to roll into the weekly pick segment here. The Detroit side, I got the Buffalo one right. Ron got it wrong. Arizona, we both got that one wrong. And the Buffalo, we both got right. Pittsburgh won. Both got that one wrong. So that leads us to this week's Detroit picks, starting with the 19th. They got Columbus. It looks like Ron picked a loss for Columbus. A loss to the Islanders. And we got a huge game, Detroit-Nashville, coming up on the 23rd. And looks like he picked that one a loss. I think they're going to end this win streak with a win against Columbus and a win against the Islanders. And I'm going to go with a loss against Nashville. Let's see. So far, the totals for the Detroit side, I'm leading with 38, Ron with 33. Picked a win against Columbus because they're expecting Larkin to come back in that game. Shifting over to the Preds side, you got Winnipeg. I got wrong. Ron got that correct. And then Seattle, we both got that one correct. So that leads, let's see, Ron's still leading with 34 wins. He's actually at 50%. And I have 32 overall. I'm winning with 70 to 67. And that leads us into the Preds picks this week. 319 against the Sharks. I'm going to call that one a win. At Florida, I'm going to have to go with a loss. And then against the home, back home against Detroit, I'm going to call that one a win. That's a Saturday night in Smashville. Ron picked a win against San Jose. A loss against Florida and a win against Detroit. And that's all we got for the picks this week. You can find us on our social media at Pred Wings Podcast on Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X, YouTube, at Pred Wings Pod, and our email is predwingspodcast@gmail.com. So once again, thanks for tuning in to the Pred Wings Podcast, episode 85 in the book.
Good night, Hockey Town.
See ya, Smashville.